We'll be reading from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 23. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the waves were contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went with them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when he had saw that, they got into the boat, and the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Thanks, Nick. I asked Nick to read that for us because I think it's really well, this one we're digging into the Scriptures, and I think it's beneficial for us to have a good overview of this story. Because what I want to do is I want to tear this Scripture apart and look at it verse by verse and see how can it impact us, and maybe why when Matthew wrote this Scriptures, what was he trying to relay to us? Now, this morning I told the lesson, Love Lifted Me. And my goal is to get everybody that song stuck in your head, Love Lifted Me, because it's been stuck in my head since I first started working on this lesson. So, my name is Eric Reniger. You guys probably don't know me very well, but I've known you guys for many, many years. Kyle and I started working together about 7 years ago. And as you guys know, Kyle likes to talk. And ironically, I'm like Kyle, and I like to talk. And guess what we talk quite a bit about? And so I feel like I know each and every one of you very well. And I love you guys. You know, it's really funny. You don't get to meet people in life, but when you know them and you know we're all toiling together for God, it brings you together in such a way. So even though this may be the first couple times you guys have seen me, I know you guys very well and I love each and every one of you. So my name's Eric, of course, and my background is kind of odd. I grew up in Tennessee. My father was actually a full-time preacher, and I swore I would never be a preacher, and I'm not. I'm just preaching. So it's kind of funny being up here. So if you see that I tend to be dynamic, that's because I'm an extrovert and I like people, and I do teach for a living, so it's kind of fun. Let's get back to our scripture here. Matthew 14 is such an interesting body of literature, right? Think about what happens in the first part of chapter 14. Jesus finds out John the Baptist has been murdered. John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, has been murdered and put to death. And actually, Herod is wondering, is Jesus also John the Baptist? And Herod actually wants to seek, in some of the scriptures, we read where Herod is wanting to meet Jesus to kind of get to know Jesus. And what does Jesus do when he hears this? He draws away from the crowd. And I think it's so interesting. He has to get away from this crowd because he's beginning to have a following. They're beginning to see this man. They don't quite know who he is. They still call him a rabbi. He's done a few miracles. He's done a few things. He's called 12 men to follow him. And now he's going to draw away from the crowd to kind of mourn the loss of his friend. Now, when we think about the walking on the water, we teach this often to our Bible classes, right? We teach this to our children because it's a nice, happy story. Peter gets out of the boat, he starts walking. But as adults, what can we pull out of these scriptures that can be impactful for us? Jesus, the story of Jesus walking in the water is in three different gospels. We have Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Mark 6, 45 through 52, John 6, 16 through 21. This story is in three out of the four Gospels. And in every one of the four Gospels, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Why do we put these two stories together in the Gospels? Why do they always, first off, chronologically together? But why to record both of them? The story of the 5,000. You know, Jesus has pulled himself out because he hears about the loss of John the Baptist. He's out away from the crowd. The crowd, guess what? They follow him, right? They find out that he's going. They follow him and go where he's at. When it's time to eat, because they're all getting hangry, like a lot of you guys are, because it's getting almost lunchtime. When they're getting hangry, it's time to send them out to go eat. There's no food. And Jesus goes, well, what do we have? We'll make it work. Now, if I've seen 5,000 people have been fed with a small morsel of food that Jesus had in his hand, I would have been pretty convinced, right? But as we approach the story this morning of Jesus walking in the water, I want you to realize in those three Gospels, it's written, Jesus did this miracle for the apostles. The apostles who had been there with the 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000, they were there, they saw, they handed out the food, they collected it afterwards. They still weren't quite sure who this Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God, but there's a difference, right? There's a difference in knowing and knowing. And so when we approach this story, in fact, Mark 6:52 calls it out explicitly at the end of the story. He says, because they had not understood about the loaves, because the apostles did not understand about the loaves, instead their hearts were hardened. This miracle of Jesus walking on the water is all about proving to the apostles him being the Son of God. So let's go to our Father in prayer for just a minute, and then let's get into this story. Our beloved Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be together this morning to open your word, to have it fill us and nourish us. We're so thankful to be together and have the ability to know that we're not going to have persecution. And we're so thankful to know that you are living in our lives and guiding us through us all. And as we think about this story of Jesus walking the water, your Son walking the water, we hope we were able to pull out of this story the important things that you want us to know. And we hope that each one of us leave this morning feeling closer to you and walking closer to your Son, Jesus. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, so Matthew 14:22. The story begins, right? Jesus sends his apostles away. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Again, he is trying to get himself away from the crowd. He is trying to get the apostles away from the crowd. He's trying to get them ready for what's coming, right? Jesus is getting towards the end of his ministry. I didn't dig into how far away it was, how, like, timeline here. But he obviously knows what's coming. He knows that he's got to get these men ready because he's not going to be there forever. So he sends the apostles away. Now, if I were an apostle and Jesus sent me away in the boat, and I'm like, there's a body of water, a big crowd, what are you going to do? But they don't ask me to jump in the boat. That's one of the things that they kept reading this story over and over again. I'm like, if I were an apostle, I'd been like, what's Jesus going to do? Like, I'm not sure how he's going to get to where we're going, but we'll do it. Now, after dismissing the crowd, in verse 23, Jesus, he goes up to the mountain by himself to pray well into the night there alone. I love this verse. It's so subtle. And it's hidden in here between two massive stories. Jesus going to his Father in prayer. Jesus, the man who had all the answers on earth, still went to his Father in times of meditation and prayer and focus. And I think in the church, at least when I'm growing up, the many times that Jesus drew himself away to get ready for something, we don't focus on that enough. And sometimes we've even criticized our peers when they're like, I've got to take a minute, right? I just need a break. to just pray. And I think here we see Jesus, he's mourning the loss of his friend, his cousin. He's fed a large group. He's about to do another miracle, and yet he goes away and he prays. And he's up there by himself in prayer to his Father. Now, when Jesus sent the apostles away in verse 22, do you think he knew what he was sending them into? Verse 24. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance when Jesus is done with prayer. The boat is some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus sends his apostles out into a struggle, into a storm. Although the scriptures call it a storm, many times we call this a storm, right? They're battling the winds and the waves. Jesus is up on the mountain. He's praying to himself. He's happy. He knows that his apostles are struggling in the boat in the task that he sent them in. How often in our lives are we battling the storm going on around us? You know, Jesus never promised us an easy life as Christians. What did he promise? He'd be there. And here, Jesus purposely sends his apostles away. He sends them out in the boat, knowing that they're going to struggle with the wind and the waves and the water, and they're probably going to be even a little bit afraid. And he calls out, and he goes and prays. Hebrews 12, what a great chapter. Oh, if you're ever feeling discouraged, and you're wondering about the trials of your life, go read Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 is all about when you have adversity in your life, seeking to understand how God is working through that adversity to make you better. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. With it said, don't pray for an easy life, pray for the strength to go through it. How often are we in this life of storm, being battered and beaten, and yet we know we need Jesus, and Jesus is there with us, even though we're going through a storm that we may not be enjoying it. Verse 14, or back to Matthew 14:25. Jesus came towards them walking on the sea very early in the morning. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning he came to them. This is, by the way, this is Mark. I forgot to say, this is Mark. This is the book for Mark, the same scripture for Mark. Very early morning he came to them towards them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. He's walking on the sea, the same thing that's beating them a battery that they can't win. He's walking on it like he's on a stroll. I may be a little bit hyperbole here, but I can see him just kind of walking along with them again. They see him and they think he's a ghost. They're like, ah, a ghost. And Jesus is going to, Mark says here, what if that looks really bad? Wow. Whew. Sorry, guys. I'm looking at that monitor. It looks good. Sorry, Kyle. I forgot my. I'm used to looking at. I used to do multimedia stuff and PowerPoints, and I used to always cringe when people are like, forget projectors don't look like they lose a lot of contrast. Ooh, man. Let's just do that. You don't need the PowerPoint. That's too distracting. All right, so let's go back to the story. Mark here, he says that. He saw them straining on the oars because the wind was against them very early in the morning, between 3 and 6 a.m. is what some people think this was, 3 and 6 a.m. They've been battling the storm all night. They're probably very tired. By the way, a lot of these men are fishermen, right? They're used to being in boats. They're used to being in oars. They know what they're about. They're not novice. They know what's happening. And Jesus is going to walk by them. Now, just how easy it is that he's walking along the water. By the way, what does Genesis say? That God was on the face of the water. And many scholars that were reading when I was preparing for this, the idea of being on the water and controlling water was always a sign of deity. The fact that Jesus is on the water, we don't see that. We don't see any of the prophets doing it. We don't see any of the Old Testament stories. None of them have control over water. And yet Jesus is on a Saturday night stroll. And again, he's proving to these apostles who he is without a doubt. I am the Son of God. I'm on this water walking. And he makes sure that they understand it. 26-27 here. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Again, they'd never seen this. No one recorded by walking in the water. They're terrified because this is the thing that they've seen probably people drown in because they're fishermen. They've seen boats capsize, and yet here is a person walking at 3 o'clock in the morning across the water. By the way, if I were in my neighborhood and someone were walking my neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be scared, much less something I've been battling against. They said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear, and immediately Jesus says, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Ooh. When we're battling those storms in our lives, have courage. Jesus is there with us, isn't he? Jesus is right there with us, helping us. We're not in that storm alone. He is there with us doing it all. Don't be afraid. And I love those that three phrases. That's all he's recorded here saying. By the way, the Gospels all each have a slight different variation in that. But it's, hey, don't be afraid. It is I. By the way, I was even reading that. The I there was almost the same I that got him killed. I am God. That same phrasing they said in the Greek. Was that the same phrasing that the Pharisees were so upset when he said, "I'm God"? Don't be afraid, I'm God. I'm here with you. This water's nothing. Now, the next one is my favorite. With Peter. Matthew 14:28. Peter says, "Lord, it is you." Peter answered him, "Command me to come to the water with you." Okay. I love Peter. Peter's my favorite apostle. I have to say, Peter in all the scriptures is like my favorite. I know everybody loves David because he's the son of God, or that his heart is after God. I love David, or I love Peter so much because Peter just made so many little errors. He was so impulsive, and I'm an impulsive person. I do things like, Jesus on the water. I'm getting out of this boat. Can I come with you? Like, this looks cool. Like, I may be tired, I may be worn out, but let me get out of this boat. By the way, I think it's interesting. Peter asked, "If it's okay with you, can I get on the water with you? Can I come with you?" And it's interesting because what happens when Peter does this? What does the scripture say? He sinks, 14:29, and he climbs out of the boat. Peter starts walking on the water, coming towards Jesus. And then he loses sight. He loses focus. And he starts to sink. And he climbed out of the boat. Peter started walking in the water and came towards Jesus. And he starts to sink. We don't do this very often, but I want you to think about Jesus at this point. I want you to put your looking through Jesus. Who is Peter to Jesus? Who is Peter? Some would say he's in the inner circle, right? He's one of Jesus' closest friends here on earth. And he's beginning to sink in the water. Do you think Jesus, how did Jesus react to that? How did Jesus respond when he saw his friend in terror and fear sinking in the water. Jesus was a very passionate man. Was he upset that his friend was sinking? Was he surprised that his friend was sinking? Later on stories, we wouldn't be that surprised. Peter's, again, very impulsive. And Jesus sees his friend sinking into the water, scared. This fisherman knows what's going to happen if he goes under the water. He's already tired from so many hours of battling the sea. He's got the gut, by the way, he's got more guts than the other 11 apostles who were like, "You're crazy, go out." Right? He's still got more faith and more ideas than the other 12. Verse 30, but when he saw the strength of the wind and was afraid and began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." How often does that happen in our lives? When we lose sight of Jesus, we lose sight of our mission as Christians. When a church, a body that meets together, loses sight of Jesus, when it happens to us. And we start to sink in the world and we go, the world is winning. The politicians are doing something bad. That country over there is going to hurt us. That other church is saying bad things about us. We start to sink into the water because we lose sight of Jesus. And Jesus is there every day, just like he was for Peter. And I can see Jesus walking over to his friend. And I wonder if they embraced. You know, as a child, I always saw maybe just a hand pulling him up. I wonder if it was an embrace. Did Jesus bend down, lift his friend up, and walk him back to the boat, carrying him something? Maybe not like a quad here. But did he carry his friend back to the boat? Was this an embrace? Was this, "Peter, you had the faith to step out of the boat, and I love you for that. And then we're going to go back and get into the boat." He carries his friend, lifts him. Somehow or another, the two of them are entwined. I just envision my mind. This man of passion who lost a cousin, right? He's already lost John the Baptist. He sees Peter, and he wants to help him. And Jesus is there for us as well when we start to struggle. He is there to pull us up. He is there to embrace the church. He's not here to condemn us. He's here to help us. He knows that we're battling with the storm. He knows that we are struggling. He lived every day as a human. He understands the same battles. Now, Jesus does say, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why? I don't know if he said that in the water, if he said that when he got back to the boat. It does say after they got the boat afterwards. But I'm wondering, what one time did Jesus say, or did he laugh when he said it? "Come on, Peter, you took little faith, you got out the boat, and then you lost faith." By the way, I think it's interesting, Peter only walked a very short bit. Jesus immediately put him back in the boat, right? He didn't keep walking. They didn't walk across the sea. Looks okay. By the way, I know you guys are doing the map study. When I was doing this, this is roughly about 3 or 4 miles that we're looking at that happened. I've always kind of try to picture in my mind how far away. They just were going to go from one city to the other over the Sea of Galilee, which is, just want to show you this. This is probably where it may have happened. And then back to chapter 14, 32 through 33. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then they in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The apostles now understood after this miracle. By the way, this miracle was for them only. Nobody on the sea, no one on the land saw it. this miracle was explicitly for the 12 apostles in the boat to truly understand who this man was. He had power over the waves. He had power over death, power over waves, and they were soon going to find out he had power over sin. And he was getting them ready for when they were going to go out and face the world. Remember, he's about to die, and he's saying, what is the last great commission he told them? Go into all the world. You think walking on water is hard? You're going to be beat. You're going to be stoned. And by the way, every one of them became martyrs, except for John. You're all going to give your life for this faith. You know, this story is full of emotion and turmoil when we look at it and we dissect it and we understand it. Jesus sent the apostles out knowing that they were going to be battling the storm. When he got into the boat, that last little bit, when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped and knew it was him. You know, Jesus never promised us an easy life as Christians. But, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So we know that even if the storm is raging around us, in Jesus we have the peace. It's one of the things that hurts me so much when I hear members talk about the worldly troubles. Guys, we don't live in the world. Well, we live in the world, but not of the world. We're out there, right? But we avoid the trouble. We have peace in this building. I know they're not magical, but those doors back there, when I'm in a building, and I've been to churches all around the world, I'm in a safe harbor. I'm in the boat. I'm ready to take care of things. Sometimes I get battered out there. How many times have you guys been battered out there? Some of you this morning may be battling the storm yourself. And this morning, as we begin to wrap up, I want you to understand that Jesus is still here. Jesus has that handout. If you need Him this morning for the invitation, please come. We will all happily embrace you. We will all be here for you. Just like Jesus with Peter, we're here to help. Please stand as we sing.